Father, we come to you today with open ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Speak to me today, Lord, about the things that I need to hear. I'm available, Lord, to hear a word from heaven. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for it now. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Yes, a word from heaven. How we want to hear a word from heaven. We want to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, because the Spirit has some things to say to the church, and He has some things to say to you, corporately and individually. So we want to have our ears wide open, because I believe that we're living in a day where the Holy Spirit is saying, I want to move in my people, in and through my people. That the Holy Spirit is saying that He desires to be invited into our homes, into our lives. And I want us to kind of think a little bit about the Holy Spirit. I want us to think a little bit about heaven. I want us to think a little bit about what heaven has to offer. Because the Scripture teaches that you and I have been given all things to live a life of godliness, or live a life pertaining that would please the Father. And as the Father looks upon His children, He desires to give good gifts to His children. He desires to pour out Himself to His children. He desires to pour out who He is to His children today. Say, I'm a child of God.
I'm a child of God.
Well, that's a wonderful, wonderful thing to be, is a child of God. Now, we talked in weeks past about the concept that heaven, that the church really has an open heaven over them. The church has an openness to be able to receive the things of heaven. And if you're a part of the church, you have an openness to be able to receive the things of heaven. Now, it doesn't mean necessarily that the things of heaven are going to fall upon us like, ripe apples off a tree. That's not the case. We have to believe by faith to receive the things of heaven. And if we'll do that, then we'll notice that heavenly things begin to flow in and through our lives. Things that benefits of heaven. And you know, we know from Psalms 103 that the Bible says that we're not to forget the benefits of the kingdom, that He forgives all our sins. Man, that's a wonderful benefit. And He forgives all our diseases. And He redeems our life from the pit and so forth. Benefits of heaven come to us as we by faith receive them. Now, I want us to take a look at the commission that God has given the church. I want us to think about what the church is, because so often that we think the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are just here to go through life and do good in order to get over to the other side, in order to get to heaven. But that's not what you and I have been called to. You and I have been called to be a glorious church on the earth. Don't wait to be a glorious church after we get to heaven. See yourself as a glorious church here, now. And if you're a believer, you're a born-again believer, you are a part of the glorious church. And God wants to pour out His glory upon His church. And if we'll receive that, then we'll recognize that we are to be a powerful force upon the earth. Let's go to Matthew chapter 28 and just read a little bit there of the commission that Jesus gave to the church. Now, sometimes we can see that it's pretty easy for us to see that Jesus had an open heaven over Him, and that Jesus was called to demonstrate the kingdom of God upon the earth. But sometimes we have a difficult time to see that the church is called to do the same thing that Jesus did. But I want us to think about the Scripture, and want us to look at it today and see the commission that we have been given as a church. And this is when, after Jesus was raised from the dead, of course, and excuse me. And it says, Jesus speaking to His disciples in verse 18, Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples. Now, He said, because all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth, because of that fact, now I want you to go and make disciples. So what He was really saying, I'm commissioning you now because of the authority that I carry. I'm now delegating that to you to walk out upon the earth to carry out the things that I was doing while I was here. In the same way as if the Prime Minister of Canada was to come up and he was to he knew Cliff Snyder, and he said, "Cliff, I want you to go to Ireland and represent us as a nation in Ireland." He would go there, and he would go there with authority from Canada to show the nation of Ireland what Canada was like, how we did business, how we carried on, and he would try to open the door for Canada to have influence in Ireland and for Ireland to show how they could benefit from the nation of Canada. Well, Jesus did that with you and I. When he commissioned the church to walk out upon the earth, he was commissioning us to be ambassadors for the kingdom of God, for the kingdom of God to have influence in the earth today. You and I have that commission. Say this with me. I am an ambassador of Christ. So no matter where you're at, you are commissioned by God to influence others in a Christ-like fashion. Or you are commissioned by God to influence others with the influence of the kingdom of God. Now that's an awesome responsibility. And so if we're a school teacher, if we're a student, if we're a worker in a factory, if we're a lawyer, if we're a doctor, no matter what we are called to take the influence of heaven, of the kingdom, in that environment that we're in. Now ask yourself, are you doing that at all? You might say, well, how could I do that, Pastor? Well, are you, number one, first, living as an example of the Lord Jesus Christ in your own life? Do you have a spirit of tenderness and kindness and so forth with your fellow workers? Also, are you praying over that place where you work, whether it's at a desk at an office or whether it's in a construction job or, again, whether you're a doctor, a lawyer, and so forth? Are you praying in that environment that you live in that the kingdom of God would come into this environment? We should be doing that. This is part of our mandate now, to pray that kingdom principles would operate and function in the environment that you're in. Pray God's blessing upon your employer and the place that you're employed. And I believe the kingdom will come in that fashion. Now he said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So he said, teach them the things that I've taught you. I've taught you to go out and cast out devils, lay hands on the sick, raise the dead, all that. He said, I've taught you to do that. Now I want you to go and teach them, make disciples, teach them what I've taught you. Wow. Well, if we take that seriously, first of all, the first thing that we notice is that we can't do it on our own. We cannot do it on our own. We must be moved by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit must be on us in order to minister to these things. And one of the greatest hindrances for Christians walking in the power of God is Christians thinking that they can live the Christian life without the power of God. That you can just do good, and that you can be nice, and that you go through this life and kind of do things with a certain degree of integrity that's acceptable without the power of God. I'm here to tell you, you cannot do that. You cannot live the Christian life without the power of God. You can't live the Christian life without the supernatural and miraculous happening in your life some way, shape, or form. Because Christianity is a supernatural relationship with our Father. He is a supernatural God. Therefore, if we're going to relate to Him, we must be a supernatural people who live out of our born-again spirits, our spirits that have been regenerated by the Spirit of God Himself. So let's wipe the slate clean when it comes to, I can do this. I mean, I can do this without the Holy Spirit. Because we can't do it without the Holy Spirit. We can't live one day acceptable to God without the Holy Spirit. We must admit that. And if we realize that continually, we can take courage in that we never have to be without the Holy Spirit. He's always with us. He's always here to give us wisdom. So we are to teach, we are to preach, we are to proclaim the kingdom to everyone around us. And Scripture even says to nations. And I believe nations are going to come to Christ. I believe before Jesus returns that whole nations are going to be declaring that Jesus Christ is Lord. Whole nations are going to be given over to the Lord. I'm convinced of that from Scripture. You know, that Canada can be one of those nations. I believe there's going to be a day coming where Jesus will really be dividing the nations as sheep nations and goat nations, and there'll be sheep nations that will serve the Lord, and there'll be the majority of them will serve the Lord. I'm not saying every single one person in that nation will serve the Lord, but the overall influence of that nation will be one that will call Jesus Christ King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And there'll be other nations that will be goat nations, and that overall they will be turning their back on Jesus, turning their back on God. There'll be some people within those nations who will call Jesus Christ Lord, but the overall influence of that nation will be turning against God. And as we enter closer to the time of Jesus Christ's return, and He will return one day to judge the living and the dead. He's coming again. And we're going to see some dramatic things take place before He gets here. Now let's go to another scripture, another gospel, the Gospel of Mark, and look there and see what's the commission that Jesus gave His disciples before He left. Mark chapter 16, we'll start reading at verse 14. And again, this is He appeared now to them after He was raised from the dead. And of course, He appeared to a number of other people, and they had told others that Jesus was raised from the dead, and they didn't believe Him. And He has some interesting things to say about that. Later, verse 14, later He appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and He rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen Him after He had risen. It seems that if one of Jesus' so-called disciples doesn't believe that He was raised from the dead, he gets pretty upset. It seems that this was a very important point. He rebuked their unbelief because they did not believe others that said Jesus had risen. Jesus rose from the dead. And that's one thing about Christianity, folks, that's very, very unique of all the areas that we would call religion in the world today. We have a risen Savior. He is not a dead Savior. He is a risen Savior. The God that we serve is a God of the living, not the dead. Jesus Christ is Lord, and He has been raised from the dead. We have to put that deep down within our spirits, because there's whole churches today would not go with that, would become liberal on that and say, well, you know, He was a good man, and well, He wasn't never necessarily raised from the dead, and you don't really have to believe that Jesus raised from the dead to be a Christian. That's not true. That's a lie from the pit of hell. One of the very foundational doctrines of Christianity is that Jesus Christ, our Lord, has been raised from the dead. Praise God. We serve a risen Savior, a living Savior. In fact, in Romans chapter 9, chapter 10, verse 9, that is a very crucial point. We cannot be saved unless we believe Jesus was raised from the dead. He said in Romans 10, 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. So believing that Jesus was raised from the dead is crucial to our salvation. I don't care who it is, and there's people you can go and listen to on the internet, all kinds of people that would still call themselves theologians today that would say that we don't have to believe that Jesus was raised from the dead to be a Christian. Well, I'm telling you, the Scripture is contrary to that. The Scripture declares that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. And in fact, the Apostle Paul said, if we do not believe that Jesus was raised from the dead, then we are still in our sins. Our sins has not been taken care of if He hasn't been raised from the dead. But I'm so glad He's raised from the dead. Now, let's continue verse 15. Here Jesus is saying to His disciples, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Lord, let that settle in our spirits. He who does not believe will be condemned. That's just as real and just as true as the previous part of that verse where it says that he who believes shall be saved. He who doesn't believe shall be condemned. And what does the Scripture say? How can they believe unless there be a preacher sent to them? And so that unbelieving world needs a preacher. When I say a preacher, I mean anybody that will tell them the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. It can be your co-worker that you can be a preacher to and simply share them the love and salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. They can't believe unless they hear about it. They have to hear somehow, some way. They need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news. And it's up to you and I. This is what Jesus was talking about when he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. We have to share our faith. Share, if nothing else, share what Jesus has done for us. Share what Jesus has done for me. I'm so glad I can share that Jesus Christ changed. I was just sharing it the other day with one of the workers who have done some work for us here, sitting in the kitchen. I'm sharing with him about God changed my life. And he just kind of sat there and was amazed. And just sharing that with him, that Jesus can do the same thing for him. We need to do that over and over again. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. These are signs and wonders that take place in the believer's life that help confirm the Word of God. And you and I are to believe and expect them to be manifested in our lives as well. As we pray for people, as we pray for the sick, as we come into contact with demonic forces and cast them out in Jesus' name. That's authority that God has given the church. Now let's just go back for a minute and read the scripture in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, because this is the basis of the authority of man upon the earth. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion. Say this with me. I am to have dominion. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So man was created to have dominion. You are to have dominion in your situation. You are to rule and reign with Christ. Now, it seems like the things, if you read that scripture, the things that man had dominion over was not another man. So when we say that man is to have dominion, we're not talking about having a group around us that they have to be submissive to us and that we have dominion over them. That's not what we're talking about. God never said to have dominion over another man. God said to have dominion over the creatures, over the world and so forth. And everything that creeps on the earth. As I heard one fellow said, good to know that we have dominion over the creeps that are on the earth. But you and I are to have dominion. Now, in the Old Testament, it appears that our authority was kind of delegated to this natural realm. If you read that, it's true. It seems that the authority of Old Testament saints was in this natural realm. You don't hear in the Old Testament about demons being cast out. You see that in the New Testament. When Jesus came with the New Testament, then something new began to take place. In the Old Testament, when the enemies of God would come against the children of Israel, they would have to fight the people that the demons were in. Now, if you read the Old Testament, you should be able to understand that real good. But in the New Testament, we don't fight the people that demons are in. We cast out the demons out of the people. That's how we're to deal with them. There's a shift when New Testament theology comes in and Jesus came and paved the way that we could have a connection now with the supernatural realm that wasn't quite the same as the Old Testament. It increased our authority level because now we can speak into that spiritual realm and command demonic forces to let go of individuals. It's a whole new deal. This new covenant is awesome. It's a wonderful, wonderful relationship. I know that I've heard so many testimonies, but even in this natural realm where demonic forces might even come into animals and they could be cast out. Demonic forces that would, in fact, not only in animals, but also in the natural realm. I remember hearing a story about a man who it was in the States somewhere where they had a large railroad terminal where they actually used to build a lot of the creosote blocks and so forth for building the railroads. And the land became contaminated with the creosote. And it was a large chunk of land, I believe it was 100 acres or something, and it was totally contaminated. And they did tests there, and they said they'll never be able to do anything with that property for 100 years because it is just absolutely worthless. And they had did all kinds of environmental testing. Nobody could ever build on it or anything like that. God told this pastor to buy that property. And I thought, what am I going to buy that property for? Because it is, you know, it's contaminated and condemned. And so he wanted to obey God. So actually he went to buy it and they said, well, it's no good. We really can't sell it to you because it's no good. And they said, well, I want to buy it. And anyway, he got it for, you know, less than nothing. It was just really, really good deal on it. And he bought it and then he started to pray. And he began to walk around that thing and began to, and called other ministers in to pray. And at one point they prayed over that place for so long, and they literally felt something leave the property. The takeoff from the property. It was like a cloud that took off from the property. And then the pastor called the environment in again and said, I want you to test this property again. And they said, what for? We took hundreds of tests from this property. It'll never be suitable for any kind of building, any kind of use. And he said, no, I will pay for you to come and take another test. So, okay, if you're going to pay for it, we'll go and do it. And they took that test again, and they couldn't find any sign whatsoever of the previous contamination in that property.